The church dedicates an entire month every year to devotion to Our Lady, the Holy Mother of God. And we have a little beautiful ceremony before Mass every Sunday of May, before the High Mass, to sing hymns in honor of Our Lady and show her our love, and to ask for her intercession. She is truly the Queen of Mercy. Of course, her Son is the King of the Universe, and so therefore His Mother is truly a Queen and someone of tremendous power, according to St. Athanasius. Since our Lord took His most pure flesh from her, it follows that therefore Our Lady is a Queen as well. And as Queen of the Universe, she possesses the same kingdom that our Lord has. St. Bernardine of Siena says that for this reason, everyone who serves God must serve Our Lady as well, and is under her dominion and her power. And Our Lady dispenses the riches of her Son as freely as she wants, and of course with tremendous generosity to all of us. Now certainly, Our Lady has tremendous power and is very generous in the way that she helps us in our miseries. And this is how we should honor her. We should look at her as someone who loves us and wants to help us. Saint Albert the Great says that the title of queen that Our Lady has is different from the title of an empress, which implies great power and severity. But a queen is someone who is compassionate to the poor and the weak. And this is how Our Lady is with us. Even the pagans understood this concept of authority. The Roman philosopher Seneca says that the greatness of kings and queens consists in helping the poor. And he says that it is only tyrants who seek their own benefit and their own power and glory in the way that they rule. But a good king or queen only desires the good of their subjects. This is why kings are anointed with oil when they are crowned, because oil is a symbol of mercy. And the oil that is placed on kings is a way of giving them the mercy that they are then supposed to show to their subjects. But even then, in the case of a king, he should exercise mercy towards his subjects, but he is still required to punish the guilty and to maintain justice and order. But this is different from Our Lady, who is certainly a queen, but she does not ever punish the guilty. She is only the Queen of Mercy, and her whole job is to have compassion on sinners and to give them the grace to repent so they can be forgiven. This is why the Church tells us to address her as the Queen of Mercy. God possesses both the kingdom of justice and that of mercy, and He reserves justice to Himself. But He gave the kingdom of mercy to Our Lady, and He decided that all the mercy that human beings would receive would be given to us by Our Lady. And she would distribute His mercy as she sees fit. And St. Thomas Aquinas says the same thing. He says that Our Lady obtained half of the kingdom of God, so that she is the Queen of Mercy, as our Lord is the King of Justice. Of course, our Lord is certainly the King of Justice, and He received this office from His Eternal Father, and one day He will judge the whole world. But Our Lady was only given the job of showing mercy, and she was only anointed with the oil of gladness, in a text in the Old Testament that the Church often applies to her. There's a very beautiful and striking image of Our Lady in the Old Testament, too, in the book of Esther, which is about a woman in the Old Testament who was living when the Jews were in captivity. They were being ruled over and held captive by a pagan king named Ahasuerus. But Esther was very beautiful, and this pagan king took Esther to be his wife. But Ahasuerus would pass a decree that all the Jews in his whole kingdom should be put to death. So Esther's father, Mordecai, asked her to use her influence with the king to have him cancel this evil decree. At first, Esther was afraid to do this. She said that it would only enrage the king even more if she were to ask to have this taken away. But Mordecai told her that her responsibility was not just to save herself, but that God had placed her on the throne as the king's wife in order that she would use her influence to protect the chosen people, and that she had an obligation to do this. And so she did. And at her request, King Ahasuerus revoked this evil decree. Of course, this is a symbol of Our Lady, who's queen and can intercede with the king, meaning our Lord, on behalf of the human race, who all of us are under sentence of death for our sins. And Our Lady can use her influence to obtain pardon for us so that we will not be sent to hell. But unlike Esther in the Old Testament, Our Lady does not need to be reminded about her role towards us. And she understands very well her great dignity and power are not just for her own benefit, but are given to her so that she can use them to help us, poor sinners. And in the same way, if the king Ahasuerus granted mercy to the Jews because of the request of his wife, how much more will our Lord show mercy to us at the request of his holy mother? God cannot refuse anything that she asks. Each one of her prayers, in a sense, is like a law that God obeys. St. Bernard says that Our Lady is the Queen of Mercy because she opens the abyss of the mercy of God to whomever she wants, and whenever and however she wants. And therefore, there is no sinner, no matter how great, that is lost if Our Lady protects him. So that's why we have to place ourselves under her protection and ask for her help and honor her, and then she will give us this protection. We should never be afraid that Our Lady would refuse to help some sinner because he is too wicked. And we should never be intimidated at the great dignity and majesty of Our Lady. This is completely wrong. Pope St. Gregory VII says, "No, the higher and the more holy Our Lady is, the greater are her sweetness and compassion towards sinners who have recourse to her with the desire to amend their lives." So that is important, the last part. We have to turn away from our sins, or else we can't obtain any mercy at all. But Our Lady will obtain for us the grace to do that if we ask her for it. The kings and queens of this world are often intimidating to their subjects so that people are afraid to approach them. But we can never have any fear in approaching Our Lady. St. Bernard says that she does not frighten us because she is never severe to anyone who comes to her. She only ever shows sweetness and goodness to everyone. In fact, Lanspiritus tells us that our Lord has given her such a kind and compassionate heart that she can never send anyone away dissatisfied who prays to her. On the contrary, St. Bonaventure says that the people who need her help the most are the ones who are the most wretched, and they are the ones who receive the most help from Our Lady. So if Our Lady is the Queen of Mercy, then shouldn't those of us who need the most mercy be the ones that she is the most willing to help? St. George says that we can't imagine that Our Lady could ever say that she is unable to help us because of the greatness of our sins, because she is so powerful and compassionate that there is no number of sins that could ever be greater than her power. And our Lord is always happy and willing to give her whatever she asks. In fact, he considers himself to be in her debt in a sense, and he fulfills her request as if he owed her what she asks for. Now, certainly, Our Lady is only a creature, and she is under an infinite obligation to God, not only for her creation and her redemption, obviously, but also for his having chosen her to be his mother. But nevertheless, our Lord acknowledges that she gave him his human nature, and in gratitude for that, he grants her all of her requests. So we should have a tremendous amount of confidence in Our Lady, and we should know her great power with God. We should know that she is rich in mercy and filled with mercy, and that there is no one on earth who doesn't benefit from her kindness. Our Lady herself revealed this to St. Bridget. She said to St. Bridget, "I am the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of Mercy. I am the joy of the just and the door through which sinners are brought to God." She said, "There is no sinner on earth so accursed as to be deprived of mercy. For everyone, if they receive nothing else through my intercession, receives the grace of being less tempted by the devils than they otherwise would have been." And Our Lady goes even further than that and says that nobody except the damned in hell is so cast off by God that he will not return to God and be forgiven if he asks me for help. Our Lady said this in a vision to St. Bridget. What a tremendous promise that is. And how much hope does this not give us? Shouldn't we be inspired to love Our Lady and to pray fervently to her every day? Our Lady continues to explain to St. Bridget that she is the Mother of Mercy. And she has become this way because of the mercy of her Son towards us. Our Lady wants to be like her divine Son. And so she says that anyone who has the power to invoke her and doesn't do so and is lost is the most miserable and wretched person in the entire world. So let us be sure that we are not one of those people. Let us always practice devotion to Our Lady and ask for her help in all of our needs, especially our spiritual needs, which are so much more important. Because if we don't, likely we will be lost. Especially if we are disturbed or discouraged at how many sins we have committed, or maybe even continue to commit, we should remember that Our Lady was made the Queen of Mercy so that she could save even the worst sinners who would come to her for help. She wants to make us part of her great crown in heaven, but we have to ask for her help with the intention of abandoning our sins. There's a beautiful example of this that I'll close with today. There was a holy nun named Sister Catherine who used to pray for anyone who would die in the town where she lived. Now, in this town, there was a woman named Mary who was a terrible sinner, and she continued in her old age in terrible wickedness. She was so evil that she was actually thrown out of the town, and she had to live in a cave in the woods because she had nowhere else to go, until finally she died in this cave of old age and disease. And she died without the sacraments and without any sign of repentance. And so she was buried in a field without a tombstone, without a funeral, as a public sinner who was not allowed to be buried in consecrated ground. This holy nun, Sister Catherine, heard about the death of this terrible woman, and she didn't even think of praying for her because she thought it was obvious that this woman had lost her soul. But one day, 4 years later, a soul in purgatory appeared to this holy nun and reproached her and said, "You pray for the souls of all those who die, but you have not done anything for me." And the nun asked who she was. And she said, "I am that poor Mary who died in that cave." The nun was very surprised, and she said, Do you mean that you have been saved? And the woman said, yes, by the mercy of Our Lady. The soul explained that when she saw herself on her deathbed, she was loaded with sins and completely abandoned by everybody. So she prayed to Our Lady and said that she had been abandoned by everyone else and that Our Lady was her only hope that she had left and was the only one that could help her at this point. She cast herself on Our Lady's intercession, and Our Lady obtained for her the grace to make an act of perfect contrition, so that she died in sanctifying grace. And not only this, but Our Lady greatly shortened her sentence in purgatory, so that she endured her sentence in a shorter amount of time, but with greater pain. This soul said that she only needed a few masses said for her in order for her to be released and to go to heaven. And then she disappeared. So the nun immediately had a few masses said for her soul, and a few days later the soul appeared to her in glory and said, thank you, I am going to heaven where I will sing the mercies of God and I will pray for you. Let us always remember this. It is not easy for us to save our souls. It never has been. And it's harder today than probably ever before. But that means that Our Lady's compassion on us now must be very great, and even greater than ever. Let us practice devotion to her as a means of salvation. Let us honor her by saying her rosary every single day, which is her favorite prayer and what she wants us to do the most. Let us pray to her in time of temptation and avoid occasions of sin or anything that would be displeasing to her if she saw us doing it in real life, which of course she does. Let us come to devotions in her honor, devotions to Our Lady of Perpetual Help that we have on every Saturday, Our Lady's special day of the week. Let us wear her brown scapular and honor her on all of her feasts, and go to her in all of our necessities. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.